Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Hi, I'm George Athens, your host for this ongoing series of podcasts presented by the LLSC. Today, our guest is Al Pritchard in Ottawa. Our topic for discussion is anaplastic large cell lymphoma, also known as ALCL. Thanks for joining us, Al.
Yeah, thanks for having me, George.
First of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it was like to be diagnosed with ALCL?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Al. I have two kids. I'm 40 years old and married, and I was diagnosed in August 2019. What was it like to be diagnosed? It was a shock. You know, I was in my 30s, had a good career, young family, healthy, athletic, and it just started with a fever one day. So definitely was a shock and definitely was life-changing. I'll say that.
Was that the only symptom that you had? And how long after did you decide to maybe get some medical advice?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had quite a unique situation where I started with night fever and night sweats. And this went on for 30 consecutive days. So after about 4 days, I said, it's time to go to the family doctor. This doesn't feel like a flu. I feel fine during the day, but at night, it's just crazy. So I did, and they had no idea what to do with me. They said, come back in a few days. Hopefully this fever subsides. And it went on and on and on. So at about day 10 or 12, they referred me to a clinic here in Ottawa called the Infectious Disease Clinic, where they started running a barrage of blood tests on me. They did x-rays, they did CT scans, and at about day 30, they did a scope, and they took a sample of my lymph node, went down my throat and took a sample of my lymph node, and it came back negative. So the day after that, I miraculously started feeling better and got back to work, got back to working out, helping out around the house. And for 2 months, everything was good as gold. And then I started developing a very weird back pain that started in my back, would float around to my shoulder, to my chest, and I started getting headaches, but no fever. So I went back straight to the infectious disease clinic. I talked to the doctors who I developed the relationship with because I'd been hanging out with them every day a few months earlier. And I asked them to scan my chest. And they wanted to do a bunch more blood tests. I said, great, but I need you to scan my chest because something's not right. And lo and behold, they scanned my chest and they found a mass the size of a hardball just above my lungs.
Boy, so is that the place that this type of cancer manifests itself?
Yeah, well, I think it can happen anywhere. I'm no medical expert, but my understanding that it can happen throughout the lymphatic system, which is throughout your body. But in my particular case, the lymph nodes that were affected were the lymph nodes that are, you know, without showing you as we're on a podcast, but in your throat, just above kind of your sternum.
Okay. How did you choose to share your diagnosis with your family and friends?
Right. Well, after, you know, the first 24 hours of complete shock of hearing that you have cancer, in my case, lymphoma, I thought about that quite a bit. And I decided after looking around at my family and my little kids that I wasn't going to let my diagnosis take anything from me. So I decided to get ahead of it. So friends and family, I called them up, had the conversation, which honestly was one of the worst parts of cancer, to be honest, was telling your loved ones that you have cancer, because what they hear isn't that I have cancer and I'm about to start treatment. They hear I'm about to die. So for friends and family that were close, I called them up or told them in person and went through that kind of very emotional time with them. But I also work in business development, and I have a lot of clients that I work closely with. And I decided again that I was going to tackle it head on. So I actually announced it in social media, again, through friends and family, through Instagram, and to colleagues in my professional network through LinkedIn. So I shared it broadly, and it's something that was a very difficult decision to make and something that I would never change, because the support and the engagement that I had from there on was amazing.
Yeah, I guess it's one thing to tell your family, for example, but it's also probably pretty important to get that kind of support back from your family as you go through this journey, right?
That's right. That's right. And I think one of the question marks that I had when I was going through it is, are they going to have the strength to support me through it? And it's not that I was looking for the strength, it's that I didn't want to hurt them. So that's something that I really struggled with. You know, I was grateful in a crazy sense to say this, that I had to undergo this instead of one of my loved ones, because I could take it head on. But my hesitation to tell them was that it was going to be too much for them to hear, and that they would struggle more kind of throughout the whole process.
What type of information might have been helpful for you sort of in retrospect now? Is there anything that might have made it easier for you in terms of information, or did you get up to speed quite quickly?
So I think my oncologist was fantastic. Her and her team shared as much information as I could digest, basically. And I was hungry for information, so we talked a lot and discussed a lot. But I must say the one thing that I didn't have, which is something that I'm giving back to and helping with now, is I would have liked to speak to someone that was going through exactly the same, or not exactly the same, but a similar situation that I was. And at the time, I didn't have that. So there was a lot of question marks that I had about how to deal with things and what to expect and what was coming. But you can only hear so much from a medical expert. You want to hear someone who's lived the same experience. So that's something that I would have loved to have had at that time.
Yeah, that's really good advice for people that might be listening to this podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yep, I'm one of the lucky ones that treatment worked, and I was sent on my way to start my life again, which is easier said than done for those that go through it, but I almost have 3 years behind me now, and I'm healthy, happy, and trying to give back. And this is one of the ways that I'm doing that.
How did this whole experience change your life, Al?
You know, that's a question that everyone asks. And for the longest time, I didn't have an answer. I couldn't tell people that, oh, you know, I've drastically changed my diet, or I live so different than I did before. And it took me a long time to reflect on that question, to think about what's changed. And I can tell you one thing, that I'm a type A business professional. And going into this, my level of empathy and probably even ability to relate to other people and to see it from their perspective wasn't that strong. And I can definitely say that it's opened my eyes to that. You know, how can I support others? How can I take my experiences and benefit others going forward and you know, see things from a different perspective? And that is something that I've gained a more understanding of, and something that I'm continuing to want to explore and to learn.
Oh, that's good. What What would you say to somebody, and it's a final question, to someone who has just been diagnosed with the type of blood cancer that you had?
I would say you're not alone, and you don't need to be alone. You know, there's groups, there's associations, there's people like LLSC that are here to support you through this, to educate you, to connect you with people, to give you the support that you think you don't want to ask for, or that you don't want to say out loud. It's all here for you. You just need to reach out, and we're here to help you through this. You don't have to do this alone.
Well, I think that's the purpose of all these podcasts is exactly that. You're not alone, and to stay connected. And we really thank you very much for sharing your experience with us, Al. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Thank you, George. This is a great series, and I really appreciate this being put together.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or the subject discussed today, or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with a community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research. This podcast is presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada.